greet you in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be with you from Goshen, Indiana. My family's with me. I've been married to my wife, Jenny. Used to be Troyer, Marvin Margaret's daughter, for 20 years. It'll be 21 in July. We were kindergarten sweethearts at Clinton Christian School. Maybe not, but I do remember a time when I started liking her and was blessed that she said yes when I asked her to marry me. We've been on a journey. We've been on a journey of faith. God blessed us with 6 beautiful children. It's part of that journey, part of our story, and they're here with us today. Last night, we finished up our cross-court basketball season. This is just an extra blessing that we've experienced. We were able to play basketball. I was able to be my boys' coach. 3 of my sons, Lincoln, Zach, and Seth, 14, 13, and 12. And we won the championship last night. So that was at 9:30 p.m. in Middlebury. So it ended up being a little bit of a late night as well. But an extra blessing that God gave us. The name of the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Today I have about 6 different points that, as Chad had asked, kind of our why. What's pushing us in life to live the way we live, to seek the Lord. Maybe even he was thinking about ministry and chosen by love, and I'm not sure that like he said, I'm not going to go into that necessarily, but I want you to consider your why. Like, what is God giving you to pursue in life? What is it that he's calling you to? And for me, the last while, I can't get away from Jesus is coming back. Like, that has got to be a primary focus as we consider our life, is that this isn't the end. He's coming. He's coming back. And if that doesn't change us, if that doesn't get us to focus in, I'm not sure what will. And the scripture tells us a lot of this faith journey. Like, it's something that we have to choose either to believe or not believe. And as Christians, we would say that we've chosen to believe what the Bible says is true. And that God has ordained, before time even, the journey that we're to walk. And the place in history and the time. Faith comes. How do we get that faith? Faith comes by the Word of God. The Word of God builds our faith. By hearing the word, by meditating on it, by memorizing it, it strengthens us. We see the acts of God recorded in the scriptures, and it builds our faith that God is still God today as he was in the scriptures. And he'll do it again. And God has chosen you. He has a plan for your life. You're not here by accident. And because of that, we're not our own. We're not our own. We've been bought with the blood of Christ. What do we do with that? Complete surrender. Full faith. So those are kind of the points that I want to hit on here. And again, thank you for letting us come and share this service with you. For allowing our family to join you in this rehearsal. The gathering of believers. The bridegroom, Jesus, is coming back again. To take his bride, the church. Will you be part of that glorious day? The great gathering of believers. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Surely a reception unlike any other. You don't want to miss it. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your oil filled. Remember Matthew 25 talks about 10 virgins who are waiting for the bride, the bridegroom to come. 5 wise took oil for their lamps. And we're ready. 5 foolish. Didn't have oil. They missed it. They missed it. Be wise. Keep your lamps filled with oil. For we don't know the hour or the day when the Son of Man comes. Holy Spirit, fill us. Keep us for this day. So in light of his coming, Hebrews 10:23-25 says, let us hold fast. You know the scripture, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another and provoke one another to love and to good works. Keep loving. Keep doing good works. He's coming again. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, the gathering of believers, right? That's what we're doing today. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is. Some have checked out and they say, I'm not sure about this. But exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. Don't get together less frequently. Get together more often. Get excited about the Lord's coming. Encourage one another. So today is rehearsal day. Rehearsal. Each time you as believers gather, think of it as another rehearsal, a preparation for the coming day of the Lord. It changes Sunday. It changes our outlook if we think of it as a practice, as a rehearsal, as a run-through, because one day all believers will gather together. God says it will happen. It's true. We are living in Bible times. Do you guys believe that? This is Bible times. I was shaken nonetheless with COVID when the world shut down. Something of biblical proportion, something that you would read in Scripture, taking place in my lifetime, in your lifetime. It caused me to take note, to be alert. It caused me to realize that we are still between the cover of the pages. We are still in the book. Jesus hasn't come back yet. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding. He says, I am coming again. We are in Bible times. It gets me excited. The dry bones prophesied to live again, fulfilled in 1948, May 14th, 75 years ago, after Israel was driven out of her land in 70 AD. Can you imagine a prophecy of Scripture being fulfilled? Only the beginning of the signs that are going to yet be fulfilled and are being fulfilled, leading up to Jesus' second coming. Ezekiel 36:23 says, these things are happening so that the heathen will know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God. Walk by faith. How then should we live? Are you living surrendered to the call of God? To whom does your life and possessions belong? For we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. This verse was divinely printed on our dining room wall. A verse that my wife had chose to put there when we moved 12 years ago into this house. She had no idea the impact that it was going to have on our lives, on our family, as we journey by faith. But it has become a life verse for us, a daily reminder that we trust God for our family as we journey. God is the one that sees life clearly. He sees the picture. He's guiding and directing our steps. He knows the beginning from the end. This is a verse that we have quoted almost daily, I would say for 5-6 years at least. It's a reminder that we're on this journey by faith, that we dare trust God for life. On the wall opposite, the header that goes between the dining room and the kitchen, is another verse that's printed. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And you talk about something that challenges your faith. Is that what we believe? That God is the God of the impossible, that He can do it. That He can do it today in our lifetime. Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. The context of that verse is when the angel of the Lord approached Mary and told her that she was going to be with child of the Holy Ghost. Can you say impossible? God did it. And then He confirmed with Mary that Elizabeth was going to have a child who was old in her age. And she was barren. She hadn't born any children. And she said, the angel told her, Elizabeth is also with child. Impossible. But it happened. The verse says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Can you say nothing with me? Nothing. Let's say it. Nothing shall be impossible. God is still God. He hasn't changed. What Bible have we been reading? Where then is our faith? If God doesn't change, why is it that we don't look to God to work mightily in our day, in our churches, in our lives? Even as it's recorded in the Scriptures, have we come to believe that what we're reading is just a great history book? Something that God did only in the past, in Bible times? I am here to remind us that we are still living in Bible times. Human history is still being lived out. Jesus is still seated at the Father's right hand, interceding. We are living between the pages of the book. This is what gets me excited to continue a faith journey, to look for great things for God in the days ahead. I believe that God is working actively in the lives of men and women, and also His creation. Do you see the earthquakes? Do you see the famines? The pestilence? What we were heard called the pandemic? Wars? Rumors of wars? Can you say labor pains? The earth is quaking. Ever increasing. Something biblical is going on. Be alert. Walk by faith. Trust God, and He will see us through. Scriptures are and will be fulfilled in the coming days. Even as it happened in Christ's first coming, when prophecies were fulfilled, it'll happen again. It'll happen again. Whatever God says will happen, you can trust Him for it. Even if it's humanly impossible. Where is our faith? Do we dare to believe God? Maybe we should ask, do we dare not to believe God? He tells us heaven and earth will pass away, but His words will never fail. Not one jot or tittle shall nowise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. It is guaranteed by God. It will happen according to His word. So our faith grows as we are in the Word. If you find you may have little faith, I challenge us today. Get in the Word. Study. Listen to sermons. Memorize Scripture. Sing Scripture. A lot of the songs that we sing have Scripture in them. Listen to what we sing. How can we get to a place of deeper faith? Romans 10:17 tells us, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Get in the Word. Eat daily from the bread of life. Hunger and thirst. Memorize Scriptures. Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. At Clinton Christian, we were challenged to participate in a 100 verse club. Chad has good memories of that, I'm sure. A 100 verse club from first grade on through high school, I think it was. Maybe 1,200 verses. Fantastic. Excellent place to grow our faith. Hide the Word of God in your heart. How can a young person be expected to be clean today when culture is so perverse, so wicked? What hope do we have for them? The Word of God. Live according to the Word of God. Memorize it. Meditate on it. Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Young people, hide the Word of God in your heart. Do you personally have faith to see God move in your situation, in your circumstances? I want to see God move in the lives of others. It grows my faith when I hear testimonies. When I see His hand, God is still answering prayers today. How many of you know that? God is still answering prayers. It strengthens our faith. I've seen no small miracle recently in God answering prayers that I've had, that our family has prayed, for my younger brother and sister. who were living in sin, who were fulfilling the lust of the flesh, every lust, every passion. Just in the recent 9 months, I received a letter from my sister. She says, "Aaron, I didn't know I could love God so much." Woo! That is awesome. Praise God. Her life has been changed. My brother, just the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, with the passing of his birth mother, brought him back to Christ. He says, "I'm going to do things different. I'm going to do things different." Praise God, he's working. This is why I serve you, Jesus. Because you're the only one I know that can make a dead person alive again. We're dead in our sins and trespasses, but praise Jesus, made alive, resurrected by the Holy Spirit, new creatures in Christ Jesus. It's something that we've witnessed happen in my younger brother and sister. Exciting. Strengthens our faith. Gets us excited for the things of God. Romans 8:11 says, "The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead dwells inside of you, brothers and sisters." The same Spirit, the power that resurrected Christ, makes us new creatures. Gives us power to live godly in Christ Jesus. Gives us new desires. The old is gone, the new has come. Nothing is impossible with Christ. Nothing can separate us from His love. Today is the day of salvation. If you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Receive the Lord Jesus. He stands at the door and knocks. If anyone hears and opens the door, He will come in. All who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it takes faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the one who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." God will reward you for your faith. Jesus prays specifically for you in John 17, verses 15 to 21. "Father, I do not pray that You should take them out of the world, but that You should keep them from the evil one. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word." That's you and I, brothers and sisters. He's interceding for you. He's praying for you. He's not taking you out of the world. He's not removing you from the evil around you. He's keeping you. He's protecting you. Strengthening your faith. Giving you a heart of love. A desire to see the lost saved. God has chosen you. He has a plan for your life. Your life is not a mistake. You're not here by accident. I remember some years ago feeling the overwhelming weight of creation, of the universe, the greatness, and stepping out in a dark night sky and looking up and just feeling like, God, how did You put us here? What's going on? Why are we here, Lord? And understanding that God, Creator God, has a plan, has a purpose for your life. That He chose you before time, Ephesians 1:4. He knows the plans He has for you, Jeremiah 29. I am here today to tell you, you're not an accident. Your life is not a mistake. You did not just get thrown into this world without a purpose. God has planned for you to be in the family that you have. God has a plan for your life at such a time as this. Ephesians 2:10 says, "You are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that you should walk in them." God has a plan for your life. What are you doing? What am I doing? Am I available? I had to think a little bit about Moses' journey. Moses was a man born into a very difficult time and situation. He was adopted by the princess of Egypt because his family was under a lot of pressure at that time. And to protect Moses, he was given up for adoption. God had a specific plan for Moses' adoption, as he does for each one of yours. Did you know that each one of us as believers, God says, comes by the spirit of adoption? Who of you was born a Jew? Anyone? So we're grafted in, right? As Gentile believers. God says it's the spirit of adoption. He's chosen us. He's brought us into the family. And by that same spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us the wonderful spirit of adoption. Now the spirit itself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. I don't know the journey that you're going through, but God says it's going to be worth it. Continue by faith. Eventually, Moses fled from Egypt to the wilderness, spent some years there. God met him after some years. He asked him to return to Egypt to lead the Hebrew children out. Moses tried to explain that he wasn't qualified. God eventually asked Moses, what's in your hands? He said, a staff. God used that. That was a tool that Moses had that God chose to use to glorify his name, to deliver a people. Every one of you, you too are called by God. He asks us, what's in our hands? What's in your hands? What resources have you been given? We are so blessed. We've grown up in the United States. We've been born or adopted into Christian families. Do you ever ask why? Why have we been given so much? Matthew 25:14-30 talks about the talents. Some have five, some three, some two, some one. What are we doing with what we have? It's not for us to look around and compare ourselves. Say, oh, I haven't been given as much. No. Use what you have. What's in your hands? Use it for the glory of God. Multiply your talents. Invest what you have. Take risks for the kingdom. Walk by faith. Trust God for the increase. Serve the Lord with gladness. Work the works that He has given you to do. Love the Lord with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Run to win the race, the crown of life. You will not want to come empty-handed when you stand before Christ. You want to lay your crowns at His feet. Run well. Run well. To hear the prized words, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of the Lord. These words are in my heart and in my mind. I think it's what drives me to want to see the Lord work. It's what drives me to want to live life well. To be in the kingdom, to run to win. All that we have is from God. All that we have is from His hand. I am not my own. 1 Chronicles 29. Why don't you turn there? 1 Chronicles 29:10-14. 10 to 14. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed are you, God, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand and power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. Verse 14 is so true. For all things come of you, and of thine own hand have we given thee. Can you say with David, all I have is yours, Lord? And ask, what can I even give you, Lord, that I have of my own? Nothing. Nothing. Have I not received everything that I have from the Lord's hand? Yes. Thank you, Lord. All I have is yours. Even our next breath. My life is not my own. I've been bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. I will therefore glorify God in my body and in my spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:20. The verse is in the context of sexual purity, that our bodies are kept pure and not defiled sexually. But it's a verse that we've used often in our home as a reminder that we have been purchased by the blood of Christ. It reminds us of our why. It is because we are not our own. Let's say it together. My life is not my own. My life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. I've been bought with a price. Therefore, I will glorify God. Therefore, I will glorify God with my body and in my spirit. With my body. In my spirit. Yes, Lord. Say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. May I remind you that He cannot be our Lord if we tell Him no. We can only say yes. And we journey by faith. Surrender to the Master. The Sunday school lesson went well, I think, with this. Take up your cross. Take up your cross. Follow Christ. It's a faith journey. It's a faith journey. We walk by faith and not by sight. Full, complete faith. Full surrender. I would like to end with this. Thinking of the promise that God made to Abraham. A man of faith. The father of faith. Abraham journeyed with God. And in his journey of infertility, God promised him a son, but he didn't give it to him right away. It was in his old age, when it was impossible, right? Because nothing is impossible with God. God gave him the promised son, miracle child, only to ask for him back. To test Abraham, do you love me? Do you love me more than the son I gave you? Abraham journeyed up the mountain and offered Isaac, his only son, the child of promise. But God, who is rich in mercy, provided the way of escape, the sacrificial lamb. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. the ultimate gift of love, the sacrificial lamb who takes away our sins. Do you love me? God's question to Peter, do you love me? Do you really love me? Feed my sheep. Is the Lord asking you this question as well? Do you love me? Will you offer your dreams? We heard that in Sunday school. Will you offer your dreams? What about your son, your daughter? Whose are they? Who gave them life? Who gave you life to bear seed? Everything we have belongs to God. It's from His hand. Your church, your business. Do you really love me? I believe God is calling us, brothers and sisters, to a deeper walk of faith. Complete surrender. Have you fully surrendered as you look at your journey, as you look at your life? Are you partially surrendered? But God is asking you again for everything. Will you trust me with it? Is there something that you've held back? If it's all right, I'd just like us to bow our heads. Just let the Spirit of God search our hearts. If there's something that you know that you've held back, if you haven't fully surrendered, if you're not fully in on this faith journey that God has called you to walk, I pray that today that you would say yes. Yes, Lord. Everything is yours, God. Nothing is of my own. I want to walk with you, to be faithful with everything that you have placed for me to steward, that I would steward it well. If you're at a place where you'd like to make a commitment of a full surrender, maybe you haven't been there before, I would invite you just to raise your hand and we'll come to prayer in just a little bit. If God's speaking to you specifically about an area that you know you need to give to Him, today is an opportunity just to lay it at His feet. Is there anyone? So we come to prayer. Yes, I see your hands. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Full surrender, holding nothing back, walking by faith. Let's pray. God, our Father, we worship you. You are the God of the impossible. Father, we're still living in Bible times. We're between the pages. We're looking forward to your second coming. The day when the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, the marriage supper of the Lamb. A gathering like this, but all the more glorious, as we fully come into your presence, Lord, with the believers. Father, thank you that you invite us to come by faith, to work the works that you've given us before time, Lord, that you've planned for each one individually, that our lives are not an accident, they're not a mistake. God, I pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon your church in these days, Lord, that we would walk victoriously, that we would shine as lights, brighter and brighter, as the world around us continues to grow more and more wicked and evil, Lord Jesus. Lord, it's by your power that you keep us. It's by your power that souls are revived and resurrected and made new. We pray for salvation for our family. We pray for salvation for our friends, Lord. We believe that you're going to save them. And our faith is being strengthened even today, Lord, to see it through, to not give up. Be exalted, Lord. Be glorified in each of our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Brother Chad.